You can see it well.
Is it running?
Yeah, it is running. All three running. See, yeah. Mine shows the recording level here.
Oh, yeah.
And this one doesn't. But we're off.
We'll go through a little ways here.
Wait a minute. I was just going to say, this is August 12th, 1992. And sitting here in Ralph Whitmer's living room is Ralph, Les, Beck, and myself, Fred. And we're going to read from Les's diary.
Now, this is a diary that my mother kept from 1931 until 1957. And I took out the most parts that were would be interesting to just everybody. See, it was a personal diary to start with. See, before I destroyed the diary, I went through and I put everything on it. Well, the first one is May 30th, 1933. The band war, no, nope, that's a strong. 1931 it starts. December 4th, 1931. My mother went in there. Dad is helping take down the kitchen in Beck's Park and moving it to New Fireman's Park. It was 1931.
That's what they built that kitchen.
The kitchen. See, the dance hall, that fell in earlier ideas.
Yeah, a big tree fell.
A big tree fell.
Fell in the dance hall.
Yeah, and then
took the kitchen apart, and then Mike built the kitchen up there in the park.
Yeah. And in December 20th, 1931, the bank installed burglar-proof front in the bank. His electric bell is one in Ricker's Meat Market and one in Beck's Furniture Store.
Yeah, they call that the bandit barrier.
Yeah. And the 28th, there's the first English service in St. Peter's Church with Pastor Bairns. The first Sunday of the month we had English services, otherwise all German services before that, see.
I was confirmed German, I'm sure you guys were.
And then 1932, well, I got some stuff in here, like all the Aldach measured uniforms with the baseball suits in Doc Beagle's office. Doc Beagle was the manager, and we had measured baseball suits. And then March 19th, eggs are 8 cents a dozen. And then April 25th, Dad and Fred Bandel got spruce trees for the cemetery from Thiensville. Now, those are those big spruce trees you see in the cemetery now.
There?
My dad went to Thiensville and they picked up those.
With the truck, I suppose.
With the truck and picked them up, yeah.
Yeah.
And May the 16th, the baseball team and the village band marched to the ballpark for the first game.
What year was that?
Yeah, that was 1932.
32. Well, I think I was with the band, Ed, because I played up in that bandstand.
You do? You do? Yeah. Well, there's some other stuff coming later on. You would be played in the bandstand, too. And June the 2nd, Joe Gottwald bought the Juno House from Mrs. Chris Schmelz for $25. And also on the June the 2nd, Bandos are married 15 years today. Your mother and dad have been 15 years. Then June the 30th, 1932, they are moving the Juno House, and the movers are from Knowles. And they were moving it over
in the lottery.
Yeah.
Those pictures.
Stanton started the drugstore in the Schrout building. Remember Stanton
drugstore?
Schrout building right next to us there.
And then the 21st of January, 1933, this is now, milk is 4 cents a quart at Widmer's factory.
Yeah.
That is when you took your old pail down there and had your dad put the milk in.
Yeah, just think, 4 cents a quart, quart and a pint.
Yeah, I remember we had a two-quart pail, and every night my dad would throw a dime in it, see? In the morning, whoever got up first, he'd go down to Widmer's cheese factory.
Yeah.
It's a quart and a pint, but your dad almost gave us two quarts every time you filled it almost full.
We always give a little extra.
Yeah. And April 4th, Fred Beck was elected village president, that was 1933. Then April 6th, 1933, beer came back at 12:01 a.m. Yeah, after prohibition. This is 1920, and beer came back.
Remember the beer trucks going through town?
No, I don't remember that, Ralph.
Oh, you bet.
That was in 33, though, wasn't it? You said.
1933,
yeah.
Then May 30th, 1933, the band wore the new uniforms, the black stripes on the pants,
yeah,
for the, May 30th for Decoration Day. He marched and he wore the uniform for the first time. May 31st, 1933, it's Louis Schmidiger's last day to haul mail from the depot. Sepp Hartman had a lower bid in. So Sepp Hartman.
You know how much he bid that time?
I don't remember.
$400 for a whole year.
Oh, who, Sepp bid that?
Sepp. He had a Chevrolet.
Yeah.
I remember that. Some $400.
And then June 9th, eggs were 9 cents a dozen. June the 12th, they oiled all the streets in Thresa. Remember, they used to come that big oil truck, they used to drive home.
Pollution, how they call it.
You got to dig up all the streets in town now. It's all polluted.
Yeah, don't say that.
And then on June the 14th, 1933, the cemetery bought 6 green benches. We had those benches on the cemetery. I was just set them around there.
Doing the slabs.
We still got those benches now. They're still all piled in that shed up there.
They are.
Yeah.
I've often wondered. They had nice iron frames.
Yeah, nice iron frames. Yeah. Remember when those benches came? They were all disassembled.
I
had to put all them lats on. You know.
Both the lats.
Screw them all on there.
Very nice benches.
In the June the 15th, 1933, the South beat the North in softball for the third time. The North furnished the beer, and the beer and lunch was held by Hugo's Astros.
Remember the back there? And the kids were all sitting on the little wall, so that somebody got the sprinkling can and wetted it down so they couldn't sit on that wall. There was a little wall, just a little cement wall.
About a foot high.
Between that. In July 13, 1933, they started to fix up the old brewery to make beer again. This is in 33. That's when Hannah bought it, I imagine.
Yeah, well, they kind of got together there, you know.
Yeah.
As I understand, came with the money.
Hannah and Shamers put up the money, and the Webbers furnished the building and grounds, you know what I mean?
The Webbers didn't have the money.
Oh,
and you know how much Hannah and them brought out?
No.
$10,000.
Is that what they bought it from?
Sure. That's what
that
they
half,
put in, $10,000.
25th of August, but in the sugar was 6 cents a pound, potatoes 3 cents a pound, eggs 14 cents a dozen. Then in September, the Willie Calise barn burned down. Now that's that barn. That was Hubert Calise. Mm-hmm. This was the one from the church.
By Palmer Bain.
Yeah, Palmer Bain, yeah.
That's
right. In October 70, 1930, the village got a new Dodge truck for $3,000 complete.
That was what they did out of that.
Remember, they had no... First thing they did with that truck when they got it, they put on a Model T Ford windshield. They came out of windshield, see?
Oh, yeah.
First thing, that one. That was the chemical truck came at Outer Windshield.
I guess the chemical.
That was International.
That 24 International.
International.
That came out. And then November 4th, 1933, the Widmers closed the cheese factory for the milk strike.
Oh yeah, I remember the that.
Closed completely. And then the 13th, the fire company party, the Peter Persch donated a half barrel of beer, which they usually did when they sold it. In the 14th of November, the farmers are still guarding the cheese factory. But Widmers are making cheese. And at the 14th, and the milk strike started on the 4th. That was 10 days later, you were making cheese. And the 18th...
I just want to look at this thing. Go on.
The 18th of November, a Stanton drugstore declared bankruptcy.
I didn't know
he declared bankruptcy and he got out of that thing. And the 19th, the milk strike was over. The milk strike lasted 15 days that thing.
We weren't supposed to go down past the corner up here, you know. We'd watch the guys down there, but that's as far as we were allowed to go. At least I was allowed to go.
And the farmers all brought their guns, remember?
Yeah.
The U.S. had the old rusty guns they brought.
They were cobwebs in the barrel. And they walked around day and night.
Yeah.
And Tiny Art was taking out Esther Herman, who worked for us, and he came back with her at 3 o'clock in the morning. He thought that was guys for the milk strike.
Oh. 29th of November, 1933, the Weber Brewery started making beer again. It was closed since 1920.
What date was that?
November 29th, 1933. They started making beer. They didn't put it out. They made beer. And December 1st, Ernst Baden is the new postmaster. Gerrit Schrager is the assistant. And December 5th, 1933, whiskey came back tonight. Whiskey came back.
Yeah.
On December 6, 1933, Dad and the village board went to Madison, the CWA. The CWA will pay for a playground by the river, foundation for the village hall, and fire cistern by John Beck. See that playground by the river, that was what the sawmill was.
And the sawmill was, they bought the sawmill property.
That down there, yeah.
And they put all that fill from the hill here and there.
Into there, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, they were, you remember that, Ralph. They had, I guess you were driving a truck for a year.
Yeah, for a while, yeah.
Anyway, they were supposed to dig that hill out by hand. They had about 20, 30 guys there with picks and shovels, and you know how hard that ground was. So they dug for about 2 days, and they said, this is ridiculous. The next day, George Wolf's steam shovel was in there.
Is that right?
Sure.
I remember I drove a truck for a little while. Louis Beck traded in a Ford panel truck from that creamery in Knowles. What was that?
Lehman's
creamery. And then Matty Lurkey cut off the whole top and back. Made a box out of it, see? And with that CWA, you had to load it by hand and you had to unload it by hand, see?
Yeah, that's right.
You did not dare dump it. You had to unload it by hand,
it'd
see?
It'd be hours of work. You know.
They're just so it would make work. I mean, so they take a long time to do it.
Well, and then, you know, as they partitioned off a part of the village all up there with chicken wire, remember?
Yeah.
They made an office up there. About where the screen is there, you know, in that general area, they had a big office partitioned off for the records, and they had some girl in there that was keeping records, timekeeping.
Who did that? Who was the girl?
See, they had different foremen. One time, I know Lucy Schuster was a foreman when they buried that big rock up here, Lucy Furst. And
I like that story. They said, I think Ronnie Furst was telling us, he said, they dug this out so nice and square, and they propped the rock up. And then he said that house could carry it. So they swept it out, you know. And then they knocked the props out, and the rock fell in.
Now, 1934, the February the 9th, G. Weber puts out their first beer. 9th of February, 1934. And on March 8th, 1934, Theresa Bank was robbed. 10 shots were fired, but no money was taken. That's when Clarence Baden he hit one of the guys.
Yeah, he hit him.
And then March 22nd, 1934, the boys are broadcasting from the shop, W1NFB. Now that's 1934. On March the 24th, 1934, Norm put a telephone wire over to Fred Bandlow. That you threw the wire over the telephone wire. See, my dad thought of it, you get electrocuted.
No, we were under the power line.
Yeah, you were under the power line.
But we had a lot of hum in that thing from the power line.
Yeah. And then the April 22nd, Mr. and Mrs. Henry Lenz's 60th wedding anniversary. Now, my mother took pictures of that. We still have to have pictures, I guess. In
the band played up there.
Yeah, the band was playing. They're standing in a circle there playing, yeah. And the 30th of April, they filled the fire cistern up by John Beck Station with built by CWA. Remember, they built a big fire cistern there. And I remember they laid those hoses all the way from the bridge, all the way up there. They pump off at the top of the bridge.
But you know, there's one thing about that cistern that I did hear, I think it was Lawrence Steger was telling me about that. You know, they were digging that in the wintertime, see? And they covered with straw. And then it would freeze about 2 inches below that. So then they'd spend all day chopping that frost out of there. And before they could start digging, it was evening again, so they'd do the same thing. So finally, somebody, I don't know who it was, told them, I said, why don't we just do half at a time and then we can dig something, get something done, see? So that's how they did it.
Is that cistern still there?
Yep, it's covered.
yeah, that's.
Is it below the filling station?
I know, it's below where they park on the side, on the north end of the station.
North of the station?
I told someone up there once, they told me that was crazy. I mean, there's nothing.
Well, that cistern, I think, is still down by the school, too.
I don't know, is that there, or did they close that up?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm Marvin Hahn, I asked him. He thinks they closed it up now. I don't know.
The big hole they had there that time. And the one up by the fire hall, right?
Yeah, that was a wooden one.
That was ruined. The water line went down there. That was a wooden tank.
Yeah, that was a wooden tank.
Oh, is that right?
That was put in at the time when this was incorporated in 1898. I remember the township had to pay for it. Part of that cistern, they were pretty mad after they had the cistern, they incorporated and out of the
county.
We had problems that time.
Well, they were, I guess the real reason they incorporated was they were so mad the town only gave them the old planks from the bridges to put on the sidewalks, the worn planks from the road bridges, you know. But that, they had some feuds in those days.
March the 2nd, 1934, Ada Walzer made a new boat for Dad, all redwood. $11 plus $4 labor.
$15.
$15.
Ours cost $15 too. Yeah. And we took it over to Pete Griner and he painted and we called it Lindbergh. Yeah. And Pete spelled Lindbergh wrong.
We never had one of those. We used Gust Weisenberg had one. He had his name painted on E.H. Weisenberg on the front seat. But that was a lot narrower than yours.
That tip's easy.
But ours was like the bricks, so it was nice.
Yeah. But the narrower ones are actually better for, I know John Beck had one made, but he wanted a narrow because when he hunted in the springtime when there was a little ice in the river, you could really cut the ice with that narrow one, but the wide one, I mean, it didn't go as good. And it's 1st of June, 1934, Peter Wagner's store is selling out, is quitting business. At least that's what the rumor was at that time, and later on this morning here.
Down in the cheese factory, they had a little quart milk pitcher. Johnny bought that for 5 cents at the auction. And we're still using that. We put the change in the paper money in every day with the bottoms glued on. It still got 5 cents.
Yeah. I was at that auction too. They had it right in the building.
24th of June, 1934, the band convention was held in Beck's Park. 8 bands were in the parade, WLS entertainers in the park for the dance, and the dance in the Arntz Hall. 1,600 admission tickets were sold going into the park. 757 tickets were sold at the dance. I remember yet going to the park, 1,600 tickets. Now, a lot of people complain that they had to pay to get into the park that time. I know there's a lot of talk after a while, but I think they only charged a quarter or something.
It wasn't much.
A quarter of a car or something.
They were so mad that they had to pay down by arms afterwards to get into the dance.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. They were really mad. And your dad, I remember what his job was. The raffle, all us guys had to go around with the tickets every year.
Selling tickets, huh?
And when we were standing around, your pa came around and said, get going, gotta sell those tickets. I remember that. Prize every hour, a lamp and stuff.
Yeah. No, I wasn't around much at those. I remember going out to the, Dad, I guess, was Secretary of Treasury of the Fire Company. And I remember going out to Beck's Park one time after a dance, I presume it was, or maybe like. And I was in the dance hall once before it got caved in. I just remember they had the shutters down, you know, you could just see little cracks, and it was pretty dark, and they had a piano up on a stage off in the back, and that's all I can remember.
I remember, too. I remember later on they put this wire, chicken wire, around the outside. The guys used to jump in over the thing, and then they put chicken wire all around the outside. But I remember stage back there, I remember all these lamps with reflectors on. Oil lamps hanging back in there. I remember that.
It was so dark in there.
Yeah, it was real dark.
Well, you know, Walter Beck told me something about Lehman's Hall out there, you know, where Schultz is now. He said they were out there once too, and I don't know if it was Walter Butcher or whoever was saying they were out there, and there were a bunch of them lamps on the side, and they took a shot with a shotgun, and they knocked them off.
26th of June, 1934, Les bought his 22 rifle, $5.50 from Hustick and Wagner.
Yeah.
I still got that.
Yeah, I got that too. Yeah. I just like it now.
Then the 30th of June, there was an auction at Hustick and Wagner Hardware Store. July 2nd, 1934, the fire bell rings the first curfew. All children off the streets at 9 p.m. Remember, Joe Gutfeld was marshal that time, and he'd walk around all the kids. 9 o'clock, he'd ring his bell, and then all the kids would run. Oh, you see the kids running at 9 o'clock. See,
I wish he could still do it. Boy, that tavern across the street.
And then the fifth.
Is it noisy?
Oh, it's terrible. They had young kids just chasing there. You know, just little kids like this, they were playing on that scaffolding, just kind of standing out there, and hollering and screaming until 10:30, 11 o'clock or later. Mother's sitting drunk inside.
On the 5th of July, the band practiced on top of the platform of the new building. So they put that new building up and had that platform on top, and it was a real hot day, and then the band all took their stands and their chairs outside, and they planted there. On the platform.
On the back, yeah.
Back
on
the village hall. Then on the 22nd of July, 1934, Ray and Ignatz Huger drowned at Cedar Lake.
That was terrible.
Remember they?
Yeah, they took their boat over there.
And the 23rd of July, 1934, Dillinger was shot at Chicago. Remember that Dillinger used to come through Tressa. And he usually took gas at John Vick's filling station. See, a big car would come ahead. He'd park right across the street, going up across the way of people out there. Two guys would get out. They'd stand next to the car. See, pretty soon one car would come up, pull up in the gas station. And another one would stop down by Joe Anninger's. Then the other car would stop, and both guys would get out. See, and wait till he took gas and everything, and then he tipped it, and it took off. And he was going up the north.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he had this place up in
Mercer.
Spider Lake.
Yeah, Spider Lake, yeah.
Well, she really got it down pat.
Yeah, she
really, that's really, nobody else got it there.
31st of July, 1934, the post office was moved from the insurance building to the back of the bank, building the west room of the bank. See, they were down there with the telephone offices now.
Yeah.
Insurance, when they moved that up the
bank. Well, you know, he easily lost the thing when... when the Democrats took over there in 32.
Yeah.
This was 34 yet?
1934, yeah.
Not that long. But in 32, when Roosevelt got elected, then they changed all those things.
Yeah, the political job.
For sure.
On September 8th, Baker bought the Thresa Canning Company. See, he had that canning company up at Dundas, I guess, and then he bought the canning company.
Did they see how much they paid for it?
Bankrupt up here. He bought it. They wanted it at a sheriff sale.
$10,000 or $11,000. Am I right?
I don't know. I can't.
Pretty sure $10,000 or $11,000.
I don't think Dad ever told us because he kept pretty quiet some of the things, you know.
Pretty sure that's all that. Well, there wasn't much there, you know.
No, it was all used.
It was the worst depression.
Quite a depression. 27th of September, the boys are building a shack by the Iron Bridge, William Beck's land. Now that was out there in the North Pole Road, see? 1934, he built that shack out there. You know, we had them pretty party. Isn't that the shack where we drilled all the holes to the fourth floor so the beer could run away?
That's right, yeah. And remember, we bought that lumber from Pat, and he gave us the worst possible lumber sheet. And we cut these floorboards, and they wouldn't meet by this much. They were sort of curved, you know?
We laid the floor, we had a big jack. We
jacked them together and nailed them down, yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
October the 9th, 1934, Dr. McGinnis opened the office in Dr. Stoy's home, though. He wasn't here too long.
Remember him?
McGinnis.
No, I don't. I remember Stoy.
Remember
he cut me open here.
He used to go for a walk every night down here. I remember that. He was a single guy.
On the 16th of October, Ed Olson bought the stock from Hustick & Wagner and will start a hardware store and the electric business. That was 1934. Now here's one, October 17th. Norm had an accident at Zion's Corner. Cyril, Frederick, and Ralph were along.
Yeah, I remember that one very well.
Yeah, the one on that corner there.
Yeah, Ralph got the worst of it in the ear.
See, there was wood strips in there,
Wood bows.
And I went up and my ear caught on the wood And then my shoulder busted the board yet. See, there was board. My head went right through.
Yeah,
the shoulder busted the board. The boards were running this way.
In the car, what?
Yeah, in the car.
Oh, in the car. Huh?
In the Model A car.
Seat,
see,
yeah. See,
Boards about this wide are running all the way along. And my shoulder went.
And the 15th of November, the John Beck filling station was robbed. That was robbed pretty often. December 9th, Richard Sorwhite quit the shoe repair business. He quit in 1934. Remember the parties he used to have upstairs?
Oh, there? Yeah, he had some pretty good ones.
And then one day they couldn't get empty the eighth barrel they had up there, so he poured it out the window and ran all the way down the siding and took all the paint off.
And Normie and them guys were all over by Sorwhite, and they were fooling around. Normie had his feet up on top of the bench, and Sorwhite was going to push his foot up, and the shoe came off and went right through the window.
Oh, I remember throwing it through the window. I don't know what happened.
No one said that. They didn't tell Riley how they broke it. And they marked in there how tall everyone was on that little thing there.
Yeah. I saw him here a couple of times. Last year, I guess he and Myrtle were here.
That's right, he met Myrtle.
His wife died, he's married again. Yeah, he's living up north someplace. Well, that worked out, there was a good marriage, and he went to work for Kearney Trekker.
Yeah.
All those years, so he did all right. He didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, at that time, he only had his shoe bin in his basement yet. He was taking shoes along from where he worked. See, the guy fixing them and taking them back there. And he had a real nice job, I guess.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah. December 13th, Norm took out his ice boat. It worked.
Remember, everybody said, how are you going to get it out of the basement?
Yeah.
That was arranged to come apart.
That motorcycle cost $10.
Yeah, but that part is going to come back here at some place where you fix it. There must be some. I read that some. At least December 15th, my mother got a balsam Christmas tree from Cook's for 65 cents. You know. We'd always watch when the tree would come, they'd unload by Cook's, and she'd always go down. We'd have to go along down, carry the tree
then.
1935 now. 4th of February, the village board had a meeting. All taverns must close at 12 o'clock. I remember the 12 o'clock curfew, all taverns had to close.
Remember, they had a lot of, except Lifey was mayor, they had to have the curtains open so they could look in by curfew. He had a lot of trouble, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, I understand.
25th of February, they had a big snowstorm. All the hotels were filled. See, that time, 41 months we didn't.
What year was that, Les?
35.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
See, Johnny was going to dairy school. And he came going to Milwaukee with the train, and the train got stuck out here by Jackson. The passenger train got stuck. Pictures were in a Geographic magazine years later.
1935, also on the 3rd of March, the Thresset German band got first prize at Arndt's Masquerade Dance.
Who got first prize?
Thresset German band.
Oh.
They started in 1935, they started playing. March 4th, 1935, Fred Bandlow put up a new bank thermometer. It cost $9.25, which was collected by donations.
That's all it costs.
No, that's in the June house.
That's
now,
in the June house.
Yeah, it's 1935. I remember how the guys all went. Well, there's more of a hangout at that time at the bank. See, everybody said, well, how warm was it there? Everybody is different. But I guess it suggested
Dad put up a notice or something like that. They're going to, if they get enough together, you buy a good thermometer.
Yeah, good.
I put it up there.
Yeah.
Did someone put the matches under it afterwards or
no,
something?
No, I don't think so.
Was it always all right?
It was all good shape. It's a good solid mercury color.
March 7th, Gussie Loon took over the Johnson Oil Station from Gus Weisenberg. And then the 13th of November, Gus Weisenberg bought the triangular lot from Lacus for a new filling station. See, then he built that.
I remember when he built
station.
That. That was awesome.
So,
1935.
Ozzy was working for Schuster, and they were putting in, doing the cement work out there. And Ozzy said, Gus had the tanks coated. They'd last 20 years longer. And Ozzy said, you think he's going to live that long that he has to have them coated? They're still in the ground there.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, I think someone said once they were taken out, but I don't ever remember.
Oh, unless I don't think they were taken out.
See. But you know, those here, I mean, especially the gun sight, is, I think those are
there. They're in there.
Yes. 26th March was a show in Ernst Hall, die Lustige Witfrau. Remember, they used to come around and go from town to town and have these movies.
Was that the Johnson medicine show?
Yeah, no, this was a different show. It could have been a medicine show. Medicine show, that's where they sold Kennedy and all.
Yeah, as the intermissions, and they'd go around hawking these little guys.
At the Queen, they voted for the Queen.
Voted for the Queen in town, yeah.
And then the last day, they always give away a live baby. Always the last night, they always give away a live baby, see. Mm-hmm. And whoever had the most, or whoever was lucky, one night, Louis Beck was boarding bus before he was married, see. And he came home once with a live baby, see. What, take this little cage like that. It's a guinea pig, see.
I remember that. Like.
Yeah, and then mother didn't want the guinea pig up in the house, so we took it downstairs, and then we finally put it out in the garage, and it got out of the cage, and we couldn't catch it no more, and it dug all holes in there, all holes were dug down in it, underneath the garage.
Underneath the garage, yeah. Yeah.
Was that the time when they hypnotized this guy, and it was in the garage
sleeping.
Three days he slept. That was a lot of bees.
Remember, we used to go there at night, 12 o'clock at night, and peek in there. See, we thought he'd be gone and something. He was always there.
Yeah.
He was always there. Yeah. And I remember yet when he come back, they carried him over to the stage, see? And when they woke him up, he was kind of a mad guy when they woke him up, see? And that was the same show that hypnotized Theo Pfaff that time, remember?
They called from the audience, and two of their men, they got up and they sat down and got up. And they went up, and then Theo Pfaff went along too. And then he hypnotized the other two guys, and he came by Theo. Close your eyes, and Theo wouldn't do it. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I remember the guy in the building there that was sleeping.
Yeah.
That was the biggest fake
out. Yeah, yeah, he wouldn't do it. Edmund Lifley is the new village president, and Les voted for the first time, so I was 21 in 1935. On April the 8th, 1935, Norman Ralph fixed the old motorcycle. In the winter, they will put the engine on the ice boat. See, now this isn't the ice boat we talked here before. See, he had an ice boat once where he had a little gas
engine down below and a belt up in the propeller. Yeah, I got a picture of that somewhere.
Yeah. And this is the one now with the motorcycle.
Well, you made the propeller less.
Yeah. That's the one. Remember when did Norm tip over once, went out the river road or something, and went over the handlebars with that motorcycle or something?
Normie drove that a lot.
I only had one ride on it, and that was the first last motorcycle ride I ever had. Norm said, you want to go along? So we drove out to the depot, and Pat had this bulldog, you know, in his lumber yard office there. And we were kind of sliding to a stop in front of that thing, you know, and control wasn't all that great on that thing. And here this bulldog comes charging at us, and Norm had the clutch out, so he just raced the throttle and roared and said, I still see that bulldog slid about that far on the gravel and round back of the building. And then we drove over to Beck's Sugar Maple Woods. They were sugar maping, or I guess they were getting ready for something.
Oh, yeah.
And we went in there, and we got into a rut, and we went through high brush like this, and we come out facing the other way, and we drove home, and that was the last time.
Normally took this one guy from the tavern for a ride, and when he came back, he showed me on his heel where the wore off the heel and the shoe, just like a sandpaper, you know. He got his against the wheel.
On the 19th of May, they had the annual band concert in Ernst Hall. They sold only 476 tickets for the dance, and Elmer and his Harmony Kings played for the dance. That was a big for every year. Remember, they had that big concert. You know? May 30th, 1935, the band had their picture taken on Weisenberg's steps. The F. Bamble House. That was May 30th, 1935. Boy, that was the last nice band we had in town here, too.
Got the picture yet, Tulas? I got it.
Yeah,
I got it, too.
I didn't get one.
That was really a good picture.
Yeah, it was really doctor.
CW Doctor.
CW Doctor.
Jimmy's got it in the books.
Yeah.
30th of June, the band went to Fred Breitach for his 20th wedding anniversary.
Remember that?
Fred Breitach.
He played the trombone. He played the valve trombone.
The valve trombone, yeah.
And then on July 5th, 1935, Mr. and Mrs. Werner Loon were killed in an ox event. In an accident, the band and fire company marched to the cemetery. I remember that accident there. Yet,
Pripno
was a...
That was terrible.
That
was terrible.
He went to Juneau to get a load of oil.
For Arloni.
We're back.
She always felt so terrible bad about that. Yeah. And then I don't know, they kind of always thought she was driving. At least that's what our family kind of always thought. And then they lost control there or something.
A guy come up to a stop sign, I guess, and he did stop, but they thought he wasn't going to stop, so she turned over or something.
And then the truck flopped over and right against that big tree there.
They had the dog along, and the dog was killed.
The 28th of July, two were killed in a train car accident east of St. Paul's Church. Those were the yuckles, the beat workers. Was along in the car that night.
Your pa was gone that day, and Normie wasn't an undertaker yet, and we were all out there. And I remember Normie had to help pick that guy and put him in the basket, and Normie kind of hesitated. I can still remember that.
Yeah, I was out there too.
We were probably all together, Searle.
Could be. Well, my dad was out there, and I took some pictures.
Yeah, we haven't had pictures yet.
That car was just rolled into a ball against the bank there, northbound train. And then later on, I was too young, and they wanted to see those pictures or whatever. So Dan went along, and he said he took them. So he testified that he took them.
Yeah, Tammy Wigan was along. She was hurt, not too bad.
Not too bad.
Two guys were killed. Sugar beet workers.
Yackel was the name. Y-A-K-E-L, I remember you.
From Mexico.
1935, August the 14th, Mrs. Bandler took Russ and Clyde to Thondike Hospital to have the tonsils out.
and they got ice cream all the time, oh boy.
1935. August 30th, 1935, Norman and Frederick are building a studio in the basement to broadcast.
Yeah.
You were building that studio and all that.
In the west end
of the basement.
You know, and Norm, he was out of high school then, I guess, or maybe it was just during the summertime.
Yeah, I think 32.
What year was it?
34, Norm got out of high school. This was in 35.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's out of high
school. Yeah. He was smoking a lot. And we had a control table where the turntable was. There was a brown stripe all the way around where the cigarette butts had burned off.
September 9th, the village bought two lots on the hill next to the Juneau house from Mrs. Budin for $150. Now, in other words, was that...
That's where the water tower is.
Yeah, I know.
She had the garden up there.
But down here, now, back here, it said something about that they're moving the Juneau house.
Yeah, but that was must have been on the village lot.
That must have been on the village lot. It was south of it.
So she must have the next two lots where the, south of the Juneau house. Well, there used to be a house up there with a water tower.
Where that new house is, where that old log house is.
And then September 15th, 1935, they are painting and redecorating St. Peter's Church for $630, and they closed the round window.
That round window
that used to be up there, that used to watch the flies.
I think it's still in the basement of the church there, isn't it?
I don't know. That window, I never knew where it was here, and I went out by Alvin's back there once, before Alvin's died, and we went through a lot of stuff, and there was a barrel there. Alvin says, you know what that barrel is? Don't put stuff in there. And it was all the lead from that window See, imagine Bill Beck took that lead home to make sinkers for go fishing or something. See, the whole barrel was full of lead. All the lead from that was all the shape, and everything.
See, when the lightning hit that church, it blew the front doors open, right? The pressure in there. And if I'm right, it moved the back wall. There was a strip about this much all the way around. That they put wood in there. Am I right on that?
Yeah, that's right. They blew all the electrical boxes off the walls and down in the school, too.
They blew the telephone off in the medicine. That must have been an awful crash.
It's 15th of September. Also, there's music recital and Pitchler students at Irons Hall.
He brought the towels from the cheese factory.
Oh. I remember that, like Eugene Greiner, all those that learned to play instruments by Pitcher. They had a recital always once a year in Arnson.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I always had to go and play there. I mean. And then, 21st of September, Frederick Vanlo celebrated his 16th birthday at the Shack.
Here. I don't remember that too well, but I'm glad I did.
At the Shack.
We had a lot of times down there.
And then the 22nd of September 1935, the German band is playing at the Woodhull Homecoming. I remember that your dad that time got the German band to play at Woodhull.
Yeah, Hausmann, he was in a tavern there.
Yeah.
And Normie and them guys went up there and they wouldn't let them quit anymore. They just would keep playing. Hausmann here, the priest said of Hausmann, he's the honestest liar I know.
Honestest liar.
19th October, Les shot his first pheasant.
The heck?
Yeah. October 25th, Matt Heineke, age 50, was killed on 33NP. I remember that, 33 and 3.
The band had something that night. We were all at some wedding. Who could have got married then?
Oh, Rona Pitchler.
Rona Pitchler, you're right.
Yeah.
Rona
Pitchler.
That.
Same time.
Yeah.
We remembered about 8 o'clock, we found out about it.
There was a wedding up in our church, and right across the road, Matt Heineke had gotten killed.
That was Rudy's dad.
Rudy's dad, yeah.
That was terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible.
3rd November, Tutsnelda Schuster Kron is running the Johnson Station. I remember that. Johnson Filling Station, where the gun site is now. Tutsi Schuster run that for a while.
Well, it came through the Johnson Studio.
Yeah. 23rd November, men are busy putting up limestones on the village wall. Lester made the cardboard letters for Theresa.
Yeah.
Now, who would that? Who was that kid? That was a guy from Lamira that laid all them stone, wasn't it?
Yeah, laid the brick.
What's his name?
I don't know.
He died. He lived in that little
schoolhouse.
Schoolhouse.
Yeah, that was.
He just died. Last.
Yeah.
He was a real good. Yeah. He was a mason down in Ohio, and then the Depression came, so he came up here and he worked for Schuster there.
Yeah, I forget his name.
It will come to me. I can't think of it now. He was a real good guy.
He was excellent.
He's the guy that engineered the wall, right?
He engineered it all and built it.
See, can't that wall be fixed on that end there?
When the south end is bulging out, I don't think it'll ever collapse or anything.
I wouldn't bother. I think it'd do more damage than leave it alone, I think. I think the reason that washed out was the time that water tower let go up there.
Yeah.
I think that's what caused it. You know, one time they had lightning hit the water tower and these idiots had put a piece of plastic in there and blew it out. Then they lost 50,000 gallons of water, went down that hill.
Oh, is that right?
And I think that's what caused that.
And you made the letters for the...
Remember we found those letters up in the village hall yet when you were cleaning out there, when those old instruments, everything up there, and you said, here's the old letters there.
Yeah, I guess
so. They're still up there now yet because we didn't take them out.
Take them out, I don't think.
How do you know how big to make them and everything?
I took cardboard. Arnold Weber, he was the instigator of that, he said. So he was there. And we always had these real big pieces of cardboard there, see. And Arnold Weber, one of them, was it 3 feet or 30 inches or 3 feet? said, you make some letters like that. And I made some, and I showed him. And the first time it wasn't right. Yeah, now it's right, see.
Then you had wooden slats
and then
on
I had wooden slats in the back so they could just fold it against the wall and lay bricks and measure all the time. They could take it off.
Is that how you did that?
That's how I did that whole wall. It really looked nice.
It's just the letters, really. The wall, they right.
Yeah, yeah. 28th, the German band gave a dance in the Arns Hall. They sold 220 tickets, and they took in $45.20. So I think tickets were about a quarter that time.
Say, where did they get the stone for the wall?
Hamilton Hill.
Hamilton Hill, I think it was.
Oh, I remember they used to, they had big trucks, just a flatbed truck like this. See? And they'd go up there and they'd load them up about 2 feet high with the stone on this big flatbed, 1.5 ton or 2 ton truck. And then they'd drive up there and they'd unload half of it. And the truck would hang way over, and then they'd go down, turn around, and drive the other side up and unload the other side.
Could a couple of guys lift those stones or how did
they? Well, you know, there was a lot of handwork done in those days, you know, it wasn't like
that. It's not none of it.
But we're getting pretty well at the end of that tape, I think, on that one. And how's yours look, Les?
Yeah, not too much. Yeah, there can't be much.
He'll be quitting pretty quick.
December the 9th, that Urban Schmidt is digging well at the Johnson's Station. At that Johnson Station, I remember he drilled the well in the back end. 21st, the village president, Zepp Lively, flooded the ice for skating. See, Zepp, he was always the guy who flood the ice, kids.
Now yeah, we're in 36 here, because we're going to cut out pretty quick here. So why don't we just stop reading and let this tape run through, and then we'll back them up once and see if they're recording halfway decent.
Right. Should I get some cold Welch's grape juice, Les?
Sounds great.
Anything.
That'll be all right.
That's good, sure.
He's doing the talking. So this tape should be pretty well out, and this is, like I said.
Yeah, you know, I was always going to do it.
See, there goes that one.
No, I was always going to do this when your mother was living here. I talked to your mother once. Oh, sure. See? And I just didn't get it.
Les, are you warm enough? Fritzy said you're warm. Are you warm enough?
Well, I got a sweater on.
Are you all right, Les?
Yeah. It's a little cool, but it's
Don't turn on the heat. Don't
now we have to rewind it all first.
No, just rewind it a little bit. And a little more. And stop it. That's enough.